Some of us here this morning grew up when peace was a popular slogan. When everybody talked about peace, but very little was done to bring peace in the culture. It's hard to imagine anyone not wanting peace as we look at life, especially during this time of year, when we think of Christ, the Prince of Peace. But the daily news makes it painfully clear that peace is severely lacking in the world that we live in today. We have wars, skirmishes, riots on campus, political unrest, murders, robberies, all different things that work to ruin any kind of peace that we might have. So we find ourselves living in a culture today that longs for authentic peace. It longs for a peace that God calls passes all understanding. We need peace in the church. We need it in our home. We need it in our own hearts. Wouldn't it be great if we could live with an absence of conflict in our lives? A time with no squabbling, no obstacles to overcome, no pressure from exams coming our way or pressure from work. When we look at peace from a biblical perspective, it is possible, but it is much more than an absence of conflict. It's one thing to be in the same room with other people. It's quite another thing for people in the room to enjoy peace and harmony with one another. The brightest pictures that we have in the Bible have their settings in some very dark and unsettled backgrounds. That's what we find when we go to the book of Judges, where we'll look today. Book of Judges has 21 chapters that cover some 450 years of Israel's history. But it's a book of Israel's sin cycles. It starts off with Israel sinning, rebelling against God. And because of their rebellion, they're punished by God and sent into servitude by other nations. Ultimately, they would find themselves repenting, asking God to restore them. They're given deliverance and salvation, and then there'd be a time of silence, sometimes just a couple of years, sometimes many years, as they went along. And the book of Judges repeats that sin cycle 7 different times as it goes through. Israel had lost their sense of being God's unique people. They had compromised the standards that God had given to them. And Israel chose to identify with their enemies rather than being separate from their enemies. God made it clear that they were to drive out the inhabitants from the land, but they failed to do that when they entered the land. Their repeated failure resulted in unholy alliances that came in business, in social life, in their religious life, and in marriage life. It was a very dark period, the book of Judges, in Israel's history. Their disobedience invited God's wrath unto them as a nation. In Judges chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, it says, "And you shall not make a covenant with the people of this land, but you shall break down their altars. Yet you have disobeyed me." God asks, "Why have you done this? Now therefore I tell you that I will not drive them out before you. They will be thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a snare to you." They're going to be punished by God because of their alliances with the nations that surrounded them. Finally, God ultimately refuses to drive out the enemies. In verses 20 and 23 of chapter 2, it says, "Therefore, The Lord was very angry with Israel and said, because this nation has violated the covenant that I laid down for their forefathers and has not listened to me, I will no longer drive them out, any of the nations Joshua left when he died. I will use them to test Israel and see whether they will keep the way of the Lord and walk as their forefathers did. The Lord had not allowed those nations to remain. He did not drive them out at once by giving them into the hands of Joshua. The entire period was a series for Israel of ups and downs. In Joshua 21:25, it says, in those days, Israel had no king, and everyone did as they saw fit. That's a lot like the world we live in today, where everybody does what they want to do, what they think is right, and it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. In fact, in our country today, in the culture that we live in, there's a key word, tolerance, that we're supposed to be exercising toward one another. But we find those that stand against God and God's people have absolutely no tolerance for anything that the Bible speaks of. And everybody does what's right in their own eyes. So we want to look at peace from a perspective here in Judges and then over into the New Testament in the time that we have left this morning. But let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for your word and what your word says to us. And Lord, we ask that you might use your word this morning to speak to our hearts and help us to understand what true biblical peace is. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. In Judges chapter 6, and if you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to turn there with me. Verses 11 to 13, we have some historical background of what we want to look at here this morning. It says, and the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Ashbarite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are the wonders that our ancestors told us about, when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us under the hand of Midian. God delights to choose for his service those who consider themselves unequal to such a calling. Here we find Gideon, a younger man who's hiding from the Midianites. He said he's in the wine press. He's there fixing the wheat so that his family can have something to eat. But he's trying to hide from the Midianites. The Midianites, the name Midianite means strife. And Gideon was one of the servants that God was going to call to raise up Israel. He lived in a time of conflict, but he discovered that there was possible to have peace in the middle of that conflict. He learned he could trust God to give him peace because God is our peace. It was the fourth sin cycle that God chose to appear to Gideon and revealed himself as Jehovah Shalom, God our peace. Judges chapter 6, verse 24. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, the Lord is peace, and to this day it stands. The Midianites were Israel's oppressor. Their number was so great that they appeared like a huge horde of grasshoppers. And they took Israel's crops and their cattle. They impoverished and starved the people of Israel. And in that time of severe oppression by the Midianites, God chose Gideon to become the deliverer and save his people from the enemy. The Midianites' treatment of Israel, God's children, demonstrated character in full accordance with their name, which meant strife. They drove the people into the hills and the caves for safety. Then they would carry off their food. Israel cried out to God because of the punishment that the Midianites were giving to them. They knew no peace. Jehovah Shalom means the Lord my peace, but they didn't understand why God wasn't present, why they didn't see God working some of the miracles that he had worked for their forefathers. As we said before, Gideon was a young man and was from a very poor family. He had been threshing wheat in a quiet spot where he hoped he wouldn't be discovered by the Midianites, because he knew he would steal the grain that he was preparing for his family. He was under the realization that the hardship and indignity of his people were suffering was because God had turned his back on them. Yet he had no thought that he might be used to deliver them from the bondage they were under. The passage seems to indicate that he would be a person who was praying, God, send us a leader that will help us get out from under the tyranny of the Midianites. He wanted somebody to come and do that, but never thought about doing it himself. Never saw himself qualified.